I don't feel like it. I can't be bothered. I'm not motivated. I know I should do it, but I'm just not going to do it. As an exercise professional, as a parent, a teacher, a coach, a leader, a boss, have you ever heard people talk like that or perhaps act like that? Have you ever felt it yourself? I just don't feel like it. And there's an interesting question. Do you go and do it anyway? There's been suggested by the experts that the definition of discipline itself is that you know what to do and you know when to do it, but you do it even if you don't feel like it. And is that what motivation is? Doing it anyway, even if you don't feel like it. And if you are demotivated, then if you don't feel like it, you just don't do it. And there's probably an interesting question to ask, how easy is it if you feel like it? If you're on fire, if you've got a stack of energy, if you really want to do something, it's pretty easy. But if you have to go and do something and you know that you need to do it, but you don't feel like it, how do you produce motivation to do that? And of course, there's millions literally of books and seminars and songs and motivational speakers. And if you Google motivation, you'll find a lot of help, of course. But what if there wasn't any of those? What if there was no help? Does that mean we wouldn't do anything? As a human being, if somebody doesn't come along and motivate us to do something, does that mean we wouldn't do it? And I hope the answer is no. I hope that what we're really looking for, and I say hope because I don't have an answer. People ask me every day, Rowie, how do I motivate people? And I don't know. And I answer that very passionately because I have been an exercise professional for over 40 years and watched people exercise in the rain, hail, shine, cold, hot, with injury, with stress in their life, even though they're really busy and they still find time to exercise and be healthy, fit and strong. They're self-motivated. And I've watched other people start and stop, start and stop, start and stop. So they get motivated and then get demotivated. They start again and then stop again. And that always fascinates me because once you are healthy, fit and strong, why the hell would you want to stop? And I don't have an answer to that. And I've watched lots of people who tell me, I need to be motivated. I need to lose weight. I need to get fit. I'm sick of being tired. I'm sick of not being able to do all the things in my life that I want to do. So they talk about what they want to do, but they never do it. So there must be some kind of inside fire, I'll call it, some kind of ignition's gone off, I need to do something, and they end up doing nothing. And I don't have an answer for any of those. What I do like to have a look at, and perhaps we all should as coaches, parents, teachers, leaders, are the people who do it regardless. What's the difference between the self-motivated people who, regardless of the weather, regardless of the challenges, regardless of the people that tell them that they can't do it, regardless of every challenge that comes into their life, they don't use that as an excuse. They use it as a reason to keep going and to not stop. And that's one of those motivational quotes that some people use a challenge as a reason to stop and some people use a challenge as a reason to fire up. And there's a great question, what kind of person are you? And there's probably the most important question, can we motivate other people? And you'll often hear that, oh, you're so motivating, or you motivate me, or I got so motivated by a song that I listened to, or a seminar that I went to, or a movie that I watched. But could the question be, how long does that motivation last? And if I'm going to keep doing what I need to do at the times I need to do it, even if I don't feel like it, do I need to be self-motivated? And it seems there's a lot of stuff done, a lot of information about all the wonderful things that will happen if you do this. So if you get healthy, fit and strong, and I can rattle them off because I'm passionate about them. If you're fit and strong, you will have a fast fat burning machine. You'll have a fast immune system that fights germs, bug, viruses and diseases so you don't get sick or you get rid of them really quickly. You'll have happy drugs pumping through your brain so there's less chance of being depressed, anxious or getting any of the horrible brain or mental health challenges. You're very, very unlikely to get coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, depression, obesity, the big killer diseases in the world. You'll have great hair, great skin, great nails, better posture, self-confidence, self-esteem, and I can, yes, rattle them off. But how much does that motivate people? And it seems not very much because there doesn't seem to be too much argument about if you're healthy, fit and strong, you'll look better, feel better, have better body composition, you'll have a brain that works better, your life will be better. And yet at least 90% of the population doesn't want to exercise or doesn't exercise or is actively trying to never exercise, even though the benefits are so available. So is it information that motivates us? And it seems perhaps not. There's a lot of people who talk about the pleasure of wearing a bikini or the pleasure of winning a championship or the pleasure of climbing a mountain or the pleasure of winning a gold medal. But that doesn't seem to motivate most people, because if you have a look at the percentages of people who are world champions, who win grand finals, who have lean, fit, healthy bodies, compared to the people who don't, there seems to be a very small number. So once again, if we have a look at the people who are self-motivated, self-inspired, get stuff done even if they don't feel like it, what do they do differently than the people who talk about what they're going to do and don't do anything, or start and stop, start and stop? And I still don't have an answer, because there's a lot of argument, particularly with the sociologists, the people who study human nature, the brain people, that the argument of what are we born that way, or can we change to be that person? So are you born as a driven, motivated, disciplined person, and that's in your DNA, it's in your genetics, and there's nothing you can do about it, so nobody could stop you, versus you can be born lazy and undisciplined and you don't want to do anything with your life, but at some stage in your life somebody could come along and motivate you, or something will motivate you and you will change. And that argument may go on for a very long time. What doesn't seem to be argued, however, is that if you want to change, you can. Nobody's suggesting that if you are born undisciplined and lazy, you have to stay that way because that's the way you were born, which probably puts a little bit of an interesting spin on the argument that you're born that way. So it seems to be that there are people who were originally lazy or undisciplined or had a terrible life or were unfit and unhealthy and out of shape, or they had a terrible job, or they were broke, and they turned it all around and became healthy, fit, strong people with careers or businesses that they love. They became financially free and they have beautiful relationships. So here's the question. Can we motivate somebody else to do that? Or do we need to be self-motivated? And probably the beautiful question, can we help people to become self-motivated? And I still don't have the answer to that. What I would like perhaps for all of us to consider is that whatever we've been doing probably isn't working. And I ask the question again very seriously. How many people do you know who are really fit, strong, healthy, lean, full of energy, perform at their best, look good naked and in their clothes? They have a career or business that they love. They're financially free and they have great people in their life. How many people do you know like that? And it seems to be that if we want our kids to be inspired by those people, there's very few of them. So once again, what are they doing differently? And what if we think outside the box and think about whatever we're doing, what do we need to do differently? And is there a different way to inspire people to change? Now, we can't change people. And again, you may disagree, and of course everybody has the right to disagree. There doesn't seem to be too much argument, though, with the head doctors, the medical professionals who study the brain, that you can't force somebody to change. Unless somebody wants to make a change, it's not going to happen. And I just use that as a simple, if somebody wants to lose weight, they're more likely to lose weight than if somebody comes along and says, you have to lose weight, you're fat. Somebody is more likely to change their job or start a new business if they want to, not somebody comes along and says, you shouldn't be doing this job or this business, it's really bad. It seems that people make a change, personal change with their finances, when something happens to them personally, not when somebody comes along and says, you should stop wasting money, or you should stop or throw away your credit cards, or you should stop spending more than you earn. It seems that people make a change when they're ready. And then when you have a look at drug addiction, alcoholism, gambling, all the things that people get addicted to, what makes somebody change? It doesn't seem that happens when somebody comes along and says, you shouldn't smoke, you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't gamble, you shouldn't take drugs, they're bad. It seems that becomes the reason for change is an internal change. And I'll use an example. A lot of people in my career path over 40 years have shared with me that they didn't really think they were that fat. They didn't think they were doing that badly. They just kind of kept increasing clothes size until one day they saw themselves in a photo or reflection in a window or on a video. And they couldn't believe how incredibly fat they had gotten. They'd thrown the full-length mirrors away in their home, and they just were kind of existing, living through their life, not realizing what was happening to their body. And then they made a change, not because somebody told them they were fat, but because they looked at themselves and went, oh my God, I'm so fat. And that shocked them into change. So here's something to consider, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. What I'm asking is, and I'll rephrase, is it possible that if we keep doing what we're doing, the world's just going to keep getting fatter and sicker and weaker and more depressed and more diseased and more scared of being, of dying from a virus? There's so many things that the world is full of, crappy, horrible things. And if we don't do something differently, is it possible it's just going to keep getting worse? And I hate talking like this because I'm such an optimist, but I don't want our kids to grow up in a world where all of those things are normal. And unfortunately, they have become normal. Being overweight, being diseased, being depressed, having a lousy job, not having very much money have become more than normal because more than 50% of the population are in that shape. So if you actually want to make a change, what do we need to do differently? And here's something to consider. Is it possible that trying to inspire and motivate people with the pleasure of being in great shape, having a great job, having lots of money or being financially free and being in great relationships, how do you inspire somebody? To me, it just makes common sense. Do you want to be healthy, fit and strong and lean? Do you want to have a career that you love? Do you want to have financial freedom? And do you want to have great people in your life? And nobody ever says no. But if you've never experienced that, how would you know that it's even possible? And I think that's a really important question. It's a funny old statement that's been around a very long time. Being in great shape feels better than any food tastes. Being healthy, fit and strong feels better than any food that you could ever eat. However, is it possible that there now are people living and have been born and they've never ever, well, of course they've been born, but from birth, they've never been healthy, fit and strong. They've always been out of shape. They've always been overweight. They've always been sick or just felt average. So food is the only thing that inspires them because they actually don't know what it's like to be healthy, fit and strong. So they've got nothing to compare it to. So is it possible that we need to perhaps, and this is hard for me to say, but is it possible we need to focus on the pain of rather than the pleasure? And as a woman, I'll use this as an example. And one of my clients made this very clear to me because we're talking about wearing your swimmers in summer. And she said to me quite aggressively, I have never worn swimming clothing. She said, I've never been swimming because my body's always been out of shape. I'm not interested in a bikini. I'm not interested in wearing shorts. I just want to have enough energy to get through my day. She had no, in her headspace, there seemed to be no inspiration or motivation whatsoever to have a healthy, fit, lean body that would look good in swimming clothes. And I share that because we often use that as motivation, don't we? Do you want to look good for summer? Do you want to look good in your swimmers when you go to the beach? Do you want to look good in your shorts and a singlet when you go to a summer barbecue? But for some people, that is so far away from anything they've ever done in their life that you can't use it as a motivational tool because they just can't comprehend it. So we focus, and again, in the exercise profession, we seem to do a lot of that. Have a stack of energy, look good, have a tight backside, have lean toned arms, live your life amazingly. And I love that too because I get it. But I've been exercising all of my life. Maybe we need to focus on the pain of what will happen if you don't do something. And I'm saying this with hesitation because I find it very difficult to do this, but I'm very passionate about helping, inspiring, motivating people to make a change, and not for me to motivate them, but for them to become self-motivated. So I always ask the question, do you have a tool? Do you have a toolbox of tools that if you don't feel like doing something, you could use those tools? And one of those tools that I have used for a long time is the pain of what happens if I don't. So if you don't, and I'll use women again in particular, a lot of women share with me, I don't want to do strength training. And I always ask the question, not you'll have a fast metabolism and you'll have strong muscles and bones and you won't get osteoporosis and you'll look good because you've got great posture, because they're all positives. How about this? What will happen if you don't have strong muscles and bones? Do you want to be the woman that gets really fat really fast because you've got a slow metabolism as you get older? Do you want to be the woman that gets osteoporosis, a bone thinning disease that happens when your bones waste away? So they put you on a walking stick and then in a walking frame and then in a wheelchair, and you have to become completely inactive because your bones are so weak that you can't move around. Do you want to have a body that where your metabolism is so slow that everything you eat makes you fat? So you actually can't enjoy any of your food because your metabolism has become so slow that just eating normally, you keep getting fatter and fatter. Do you want to have horrible skin, flaky nails, dull eyes, poor posture, so you look really horrible in your clothes and out of your clothes? Is it possible that if you don't do something about your physical well-being, that things could get worse? Is it possible that we don't stay the same? If you're not in great shape at 20, what will happen by the time you're 30 if you don't do anything about it? Is it possible that you could look like a 50, 60, 70-year-old lady because your bones are wasting away, your muscles are wasting away, your skin looks terrible, you've got horrible hair and nails because your body's not fit enough to pump oxygen, blood, vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, nutrients around your body? What will happen if you don't? How will you feel if you have to go up another clothes size? How will you feel if in 10 years' time, at the moment you're a size 12, what if you're a size 22? What will happen to your quality of life? And I'm going to give you a really horrible example, but I've used this again as a powerful tool. One of my clients became so overweight, and she shared this very personally. She could no longer wipe her own bum. That was her turning point. She said, I can't explain to you, or I can't understand why that happened to me. But the day when I went to the bathroom, did a number two, and I had to get my husband to come and help me to wipe my own bottom, I realized that this is not a way for a person to live. Is it possible that if you don't get fit and you don't get strong and you keep putting horrible stuff into your body, that that could happen to you? Then the reverse of that, let's say it's not weight, because a lot of people are scared of getting fat or being overweight. But what about disease? Coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, depression, and I say them all the time. But what will your life be like if you wake up every day not wanting to live? That's how most people feel when they're depressed. How will you feel if they have to chop off your fingers and toes and then your arms and legs and you have kidney failure because you've got type 2 diabetes? And that's what happens. Type 2 diabetes happens when we get so out of shape and so overweight that nothing works effectively inside our body anymore. Literally, our hormonal system doesn't know what to do with all the food and all the sugar that we eat. So we get these broken arteries. I call them busted hoses. And then everything gets clogged up and everything stops working. You go blind. If you get type 2 diabetes, there's a big risk of going blind. How will you feel if you go blind and have to get your fingers and toes cut off because you're not doing anything about getting your body into some kind of healthy shape? And then it goes another step further. And obviously I've worked with a lot of women, but when you work with mums and then with dads, because mums and dads obviously talk, what are we doing for our kids? If you can't play with your kids, if your kids want you to come to sport but you have to stand on the sideline, or worse, sit on the sideline because you haven't got enough energy to stand up for an 80-minute game of football, what's the message we're sending to our kids? If you're a man and you can't make love to your partner because your hoses are busted, and that's what happens again when you get cardiovascular disease, you clog up your arteries, blood doesn't flow freely, oxygen doesn't flow freely, nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals don't flow freely, so your penis doesn't work, I'll say it again, your eyes don't work, so you go blind, your circulation doesn't work effectively, so you have to go and get your fingers and toes and arms and legs cut off, you have renal failure, so you end up on some kind of kidney dialysis machine or have to have kidney transplant. These are the horrible, terrible things that happen to people who don't look after themselves. And I'm saying it with such passion because I'm not sure that people understand the consequences of just waking up, sitting in the car, sitting at their desk, eating crappy food, drinking alcohol, sitting in the car, sitting on the lounge, going to sleep, getting up and doing it all over again. The human body rots away if we don't look after it. And I don't want that to be the motivation for people to get going. I would wish from my heart to yours that what inspires people is the major benefits of how awesome you will feel when you're fit and strong and how much more energy you will have and how high you will perform at everything that you do and what a great lover you will be and what great posture you'll have and what bright eyes you'll have and beautiful hair, skin and nails, and you'll be able to live your life with passion, enthusiasm and excitement. And when I talk like that, most people look at me like I'm a lunatic. Like, that's not even possible. It's like saying you're happy. People go, well, you can't be happy. Well, there's another really interesting one. Depression's one of the biggest killers in the world right now. And when I say that, even if you don't die from depression, what's the use of living if you don't feel like living? You just wake up every day wishing you were dead. Yuck. But you can't live that way when you have happy drugs pumping into your brain. It's actually physiologically impossible. When you sprint, when you lift heavy, when you learn, when you laugh, and those two things only happen when you've got a brain that's working really effectively. So the fitter you get, the stronger you get, the more you pump neurotransmitters of positivity into your brain. So you get dopamine reward drug, serotonin is a satisfaction drug, brain-derived neurotropic factor, which is a fertilizer for your brain. All of those happen when you sprint and when you lift heavy, when you get fit and when you get strong. When you get puffed, you get fit. When you lift heavy, you get strong. And that turns your body into a happy drug pumping machine, a virus fighting machine, a high performance machine, and a fat burning machine. But again, it doesn't seem to motivate people. And I talk about it all the time. What's going to turn somebody into the person, or can we change, or how do we motivate people to want to make a change? And is it possible that those positive things just aren't working? Do we need to, as exercise professionals, coaches, leaders, parents, teachers, need to point out a little bit more about what's going to happen if you don't? What if you keep getting fatter? What if you keep becoming more inactive? What if your body rots away and at the age of 30, 40, 50, you're already either so physically incapable of living your life that you don't want to be alive, or and worse, your brain's rotting away? Obviously, if you don't use something, you lose it. And if you're not puffing and you're not lifting heavy and you're not forcing your brain to stay strong and healthy, it wastes away, which is why we're now seeing Alzheimer's and dementia and depression and anxiety and horrible mental health challenges in people much younger than ever. Well, what about this? What if you could stay young, healthy, fit and strong with great quality of life for the rest of your life? That doesn't seem to motivate people, because I've actually had people say to me, I don't want to get old. I see what old people or how they live their life, and I don't want to live like that. So I'm just going to drink and smoke and eat crappy food, and if I die at 35, that's okay. And I have no right to share whether that's good or bad. The only thing I would encourage or ask people to consider is that what you want for our kids? If you're going to have children, is that the life that you want your kids to have? That's the only question I would ask, because, of course, we can all do exactly what we want to do. It's a bit like people who do risky sports, people who do parachuting or snowboarding or bungee jumping or motocross racing or car racing or any of the sports where there's a really high risk that on any day, the wrong movement, you could die. What right have I got to tell somebody not to do that? I have no right to tell somebody not to smoke or not to drink or not to take drugs or not to overeat, because if people want to do that, they absolutely have the right to do that, of course. But if we want to force people to change, is it possible that that's not possible? And if people want to change, do we give them the information that's easy and simple and uncomplicated and doesn't take up too much time and doesn't take all the pleasure out of their life so they might actually stick to it? So if somebody does want to make a change, and I'm now talking about the group that lose weight, gain weight, get fit, get unfit, what if we gave them something they could actually stick to for the rest of their life? So it wasn't a 12-week challenge. It was a lifetime of being healthy, fit and strong. And then the people that have no interest at all in any form of physical activity, what if we just, from an educational point of view, pointed out quite clearly what might happen? Now, we know that this is not going to work for most people, because if you have a look at a packet of cigarettes now and the pictures that are on a packet of cigarettes, if those pictures don't inspire and motivate people to stop smoking, one would have to ask, whoa, what's that all about? I will have ask you to consider a very important question, however. The brain scientists, again, the experts of who study our human behavior, will suggest that we can't stop a bad habit. We can just replace it with a new one. And that's one of the beautiful things about the reasons that people smoke, gamble, take drugs, drink, is the dopamine rush in their brain. It makes them feel good, provides them with endorphins, which is the pain-killing drugs. That's why people do those things. But exercise is the same. It gives you the same headspace. You get the same high, the same endorphin rush, the same dopamine rush, probably even higher, arguably. A great serotonin experience, which is the satisfaction drug. And of course, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, fertilizer for your brain, which doesn't come from taking drugs, gambling, smoking, or drinking. If we can replace the bad habit with a good one of wanting to exercise and wanting to learn and laugh and lift and puff and do all the great things for our human body, is that a possibility? So rather than telling people what not to do, what if we gave them what if you don't exercise, the negatives? What if you do, the positives? And then something they could actually stick to. And I always use drug dealers as an example. There's no drug dealer on the planet that, if they wanted to addict you to methamphetamine or cocaine or heroin, would give you an overdose at the start. They would always give you a really tiny bit to get you hooked on it. And maybe as exercise professionals and coaches and leaders and teachers and parents, we need to take a little bit more responsibility for the information we're giving. Is it possible that we're overdosing people at the start? We're telling them you have to do this and you can't have that, and it's all too hard and all too much. And a 45-minute class for a human body that doesn't exercise at all could feel like 4.5 hours. Telling somebody to go for a 20-minute run could feel like 2 hours. What if we start with short and sharp and easy? And obviously, when you understand your anatomy and physiology, that's all you need. Short and sharp and easy is exactly what the human body, when I say easy, it's much easier to go for 10 seconds than it is for an hour. But if we get people puffed several times throughout the day for 10 seconds, they now have a body that produces chemicals to make them feel good. They turn their body into a fat burning machine, and life becomes a whole different story because we're getting puffed. So what if we made it simple and easy? And rather than telling people what to do, we were the motivated, happy, positive, in shape, healthy, high performing, energetic, powerful human beings that people could say, wow, if she can do it, if he can do it, and they're only exercising for a short period of time and they haven't cut out every yummy food or every beautiful thing that they love to eat, maybe I could do it too. I don't have the answer to self-motivation. I don't have the answer to inspiring people. But is it possible that we need to do something different? And if it's different, let's have a look at what the best in the world are doing. Who's the most self-motivated? Who are the people that are getting the best results? And perhaps focus on the outcome of being healthy, fit and strong, rather than telling people what they can and can't do. Is that a possibility? Perhaps you could consider it.